So much of who we are has to do with being from somewhere, to be able to trace the history and the footsteps of those who came before us. This is Walking the Old Road, the story of Chippewa City and the Grand Marais Chippewa. The Old Shore Road is what they called it, though it was really a well-worn path to and from the village of Chippewa City, a turn-of-the-century settlement that no longer exists. But even if we can't physically walk the old road, we're able to find it again through those who are willing to share the story of it with us. The Anishinaabe name for Grand Marais is Gitchi-Batubig, which means a place of two bays. Chippewa people have lived at Grand Marais Harbor as early as 1550. When the Charles Johnson family home was built on a hill overlooking the harbor, Johnson's crew unearthed a Chippewa burial ground. Charles's son, Lloyd K. Johnson.
There was an old Indian burial ground at the brick stairs, because when we leveled off the ground, we hit into some of the graves, and my father made little bounds over so he wouldn't touch the grave.
The Chippewa remained the majority in the Grand Marais area until 1854, when the Treaty of La Pointe between the Chippewa and the United States permitted whites to settle on the North Shore. The political leader at Grand Marais, Attakunts, was the last of the Chippewa chiefs to sign the treaty, pitting himself against the U.S. government and insisting that the annuities were inadequate. The treaty was the first to allot land to Indian people within the ceded territory. This area included Artists Point, Grand Marais, and areas of shoreline east and west of the harbor. Grand Portage band member Richard Anderson shared how his grandmother acquired land as part of the treaty.
I forget who the president was. President Johnson, I think it was, in 1870, deeded her, Catherine, Boyer, Scott, and then I can remember the comma and Indian, comma, the following described property located in this territory of Minnesota. It ended up to be a mile of shoreline, and down east of Grand Marais, about 7 miles.
The village of Chippewa City was most populated between 1882 and 1901. Many people were allotted property there as part of the Treaty of 1854, which over time was put up for sale. Richard Anderson.
You could buy an acre of land up here in Cook County for $3 or $4 an acre. I'm sure that the Indian people who lived in Chippewa City owned the land that they had built their homes on. The Morrisons had a couple pretty substantial homes there.
The Morrison family were early residents of Chippewa City, yet retained close ties to the Grand Portage Reservation. George Morrison.
Chippewa City was an extension of Grand Portage, so it was part of the, in one sense, a part of the reservation, in one sense. But yet it was also different from Grand Marais proper, too. So it was kind of a village in itself. And as an Indian village, then it gradually became more homogenized with people leaving and other people coming in and so forth, the mixture of in and out.
Because the land was originally allotted or deeded to individual Chippewa families, Chippewa City land was considered Indian land, similar to the reservation at Grand Portage. Jim Whipson.
I think a lot of them didn't even know they were living on a reservation. See, the land was entrusted to them wherever they lived. It was just like homesteading, I guess. But see, a reservation is, the land is given to the Indians, so the Indians have the right to divide the land up as he seen fit. They didn't even call it reservation, I think, in Chippewa City. They just call it Chippewa City.
Richard Anderson.
Actually, there wasn't too much of a difference other than the people who lived in Chippewa City were the people who probably originally lived in Grand Portage, and rather than getting involved in Grand Marais as such, lived in the, sort of their own little community, which was called Chippewa City.
Because of the harbor building project, many people from Grand Portage moved to Chippewa City to find work. By 1886, when the St. Francis Xavier Church was built, the community would grow to over 200 families, a population that would diminish greatly over the next 20 years. Jim Whipson.
It was a pretty good-sized community. In fact, when you think about it, it was even bigger than Portage. I mean, in population. Now, what happened now, of course, has all been taken over by the whites. Now, there's hardly no Indians there now at all.
This is Walking the Old Road, the story of Chippewa City and the Grand Marais Chippewa. Funding for Walking the Old Road is provided by the State of Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and WTIP. The show is produced by Stacey Droulard, with music by Keith Sokola. Archived interviews, courtesy of the producer, the Grand Portage National Monument, and the Cook County Historical Society.